Well, it's great to be back with all of you. I miss you, but I really love where I'm at the same time. Because you can get any kind of food you want in Tuscaloosa. You're not stuck with Hardee's and Taco Bell. There's more Mexican restaurants in Tuscaloosa than there are restaurants in Selma. So, but it's always good to be where God places you during the time. And my time here was exactly where God wanted me to be, to learn. And I want to thank all of you who suffered through my being here sometimes and some bad homilies and some good homilies, I hope. But because y'all taught me so many things and allowed God to teach me so many things to be able to do what I do now. We'll have just a couple of quick thoughts. You'll have to excuse me. I will be looking at my watch continually because at our church in Tuscaloosa, we have a clock on the wall. And so I can keep track of time. And I'm paranoid about this now. I could turn this into like a three-hour homily, this gospel passage. There's so much in it. So much in it. And it's interesting to note that it says, in calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is the call of the gospel. In our culture and society, we have so watered the gospel down that there's no call to the gospel. It's like you hear some of these guys preach the gospel, and it's like, come on, man. You know, like, it's a party. We're going to do all this cool stuff, and God's going to just do all this cool stuff. And you'll never have another worry. You'll never have another care or anything. It's the way they kind of present it. They may not say all those words, but the presentation is that way. But Jesus, his call was, come and follow me and take up your cross. Now, each one of us has our individual cross to bear. I kind of think it's all very similar. I think the cross that we bear is the cross of the flesh and the lust of the flesh that we all have to deal with. No one's excluded from that. No priests, no deacons, not even our most spiritual and holy people that would sit in our pews are excluded from the flesh and having to deal with it at different times. I had a chance to talk to a young woman. She's like 30 years old, of all places, at a tennis facility in Tuscaloosa, because she asked me about being a priest. She said, I know you're a priest. You know, when somebody says that to you, you're like, okay. Okay. Now, what do you think you know about me? But she asked me the questions about how did you get to be a priest, what was the route, and this stuff. And so it opened up a chance for me to share the gospel with her as I see the gospel, which is the gospel of following Christ. And why do you do that? And what's the advantages of it versus the disadvantages of not following it? And it was a great conversation. And it made me realize more that, in particular with this gospel passage, what a great passage, is that the gospel has a unique message to it. This is very difficult for people to hear the actual gospel message, which the message is if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you seek to lose your life in Christ, you will gain your life. And see, we have to realize that outside of being a Christian, the life that everybody lives, and even the life that most Christians, most of us live, it is not the actual real life that God ever intended us to live. When he created Adam and Eve, he had a totally different intent for the type of life that they would live. Of course, then the fall happened, and we've suffered through this through the centuries and the millennials. But the life in the flesh, living it the way we live it as humans in our culture particularly, was not ever intended to be the life that God had for us to live. The life that he's always intended us to live was the life that he lives, not the life that we would live. Because the life that we would live, my experience of observation and experience of doing, is that if we do it, we will always muck it up. We'll always do something to it. And I get to use my example I've been wanting to use now. Just thought about it. I went to a juice bar. Okay, I'm 71 years old. I'm very out of shape, diabetic, had two stents put in, yada, yada. So every once in a while I get this, I'm going to get healthy thing. That lasts 10 or 15 minutes as a general rule. But in Tuscaloosa, I went to a Dick's Sporting Goods, of course. And then across from Dick's Sporting Goods, there's this juice bar. And so I said, well, I'll go get like a smoothie at the juice bar, and it'll be healthy, right? And so I went in, I was looking at him, and I'm going, I don't really see the healthy part of this. So I talked to the lady, and she said, well, I can make you one this, and it'd be really, really healthy. And I said, well, now I'm diabetic, so it's like a sugar issue here, so can't have a lot of sugar put in it. And so she made me this smoothie, and it had, of all, God help me, it had kale in it. I'm still not convinced I'm not going to die from that. Okay? And it had spinach in it. And it had all this other stuff in it. It had almond milk in it. And I don't know, have you read the reports on almond milk? There's almost no almonds in almond milk. You know, it's like they put almonds beside it as they make it and call it almond milk. It's like, okay. So I got it, and it looked healthy. It was green and nasty. I thought, okay. And so I tried it, and it wasn't bad, you know. And then as I left, you know, I tried not to lie. I said, well, it's pretty good to the lady. It's not too bad. And then as I was leaving, and I was driving, I was thinking, you know, this is the Christian life right here in this thing. This is how it works. As God created us, and when he created us, we were perfect. But we, in our infinite wisdom, figured that we can make it better than he could make it. And so we add in our stuff. And let me tell you, this lady added in stuff to this what was supposed to be healthy. And I can guarantee you, it wasn't healthy at all for me. It had kale and spinach in it. That was about it. But it had other stuff that made it really good, pretty good, and really, really sweet. So like, I know that that was not healthy for me. And that is the way we do our Christian life. Is we come to Christ, and Christ does all this. He just like cleanses us. And then we go out in our flesh and decide that we know better than God knows, and we add stuff to the Christian life to make it a better Christian life rather than just simply allowing him to be the very life that we have. And in doing that, it's not so good anymore. You know, we get off track, off into these other things. And that's why he says, like, if you're trying to save your life, you know, if you're trying to make your life better, if you're trying to make your Christian life better by some kind of rules and regulations and hoops that you get to jump through, you're going to lose it. And I can testify that in my own life experience, that is very true. It's the more effort that I put into being a Christian, the less Christian I become. It may look good in the very beginning, but it's not healthy. It's not a healthy Christian. It's not a healthy life. But the more I just simply trust him and allow him to live his life, you know, when he lives his life in you through you, and it's living and it's going like that, there's times you don't like it, you know. There's times you don't like it. Like the times it goes like, well, no, let that person go ahead of you in the line. No, stop and help that person change their tire. No, like give that person some money. I've been in that situation, Lord, to give that person some money. I said, well, Lord, I've only got a $20 bill, and like, you know, like, I don't think that they're responsible enough to deal with the $20 bills. And if I had a $5 bill, I'd be gracious and be glad to do that. See, I was adding to my Christian life. And of course, I heard the Lord go, so, give them what you have. And so I did. And I was a happier person for doing that. See, the only true happiness I've ever had in my life that ever lasted more than just a few moments and minutes sometimes is the life that Christ has lived. Me allowing him to do that. The more I live my life, the more miserable I have been. And I've tried really hard. And I thought I was doing a really good job at one time. And I wasn't. And God had to let me see that. So my encouragement to you is just let him do his thing. Quit doing your thing. Quit adding to him. Allow him to live his life. And his life, if you want to know what it's like, it's right here. Don't make it up. Don't make him in your image. Let him be his image and be who he is and live his life and manifest his life through you. You will be so happy in the end. You're going to have to give up something in the beginning. It's called take up your cross and follow. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.